Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the You Should Run podcast. I'm your host, Tony Heil, and I am a local elected official in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, which is nestled between King of Prussia and Norristown, just a little bit away from Philadelphia. But this is a big country, and there are a lot of big races to run for. Well, big and small, they all run together. They're all very important. And today I'm very excited to have my first guest from the great state of Minnesota. I'm sure I'm not the only one to say this, but one of my original idols in politics came from Minnesota, Mr. Paul Wellstone. And I know, though I never met him myself. So I'm excited to have this great guest on, Heather Edelson from Minnesota, his current state representative who's done a lot in a very short amount of time. And I'm sure she's going to be doing even more as both a political figure and a elected official. So Heather, thank you for joining my podcast today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm excited to join you today.
So you know what we talk about here. We're trying to encourage people to run for office. There are over 500,000 elected positions in the country, from state rep like you are to president to judge to school board and whatnot. But tell me a little bit about yourself. Have you always been a politically minded person?
You know, I don't know if I would say politically minded, but I mean, yes, for the most part, I've always cared about how our government works. I grew up, I live in Edina now. I represent one of the wealthier cities in the state of Minnesota, but I grew up in one of the poorest. And so I think it gives me a really different perspective than someone, say, that has maybe grown up middle class their entire life. So with that being said, I've always cared about making sure, you know, when my mother and I grew up to a single mom, when we used to visit food shelves, it really gave me this idea of what it meant to ask for help. And so, and how does government actually play a role in making sure that everybody has that opportunity to succeed? And so these are all things that I've taken with me as I've gone to the state capitol.
So, and, you know, I've talked with a number of people on this podcast for different positions, and especially when you talk about issues of struggling families, poverty, and you can't fix problems if you don't see problems. So I guess in your background, you've seen a lot of these issues that, you know, that aren't necessarily always problems, but you recognize it in ways that other people might not.
Absolutely, and I think that's really huge. When I first ran for office, I ran against a 23 year incumbent from my own party. I remember I was 34 at the time. Somebody said, what does this young blonde woman know about anything? And it was really infuriating to me, because I think that we have a lack of respect for young people and the knowledge that they have and the stories that they bring, because I think everybody has the opportunity to really contribute to our society. But it's a matter of whose voices do we listen to. And my voice was really important, because again, I was the first to go to college in my family, had lived experience. And is it, you know, what do we value in public office? I would say that everybody has something to bring. It took me a really long time to understand that my story was one that is like many people in this country's story, one of struggle, one of figuring out how to make your way, one of understanding that sometimes when asking for help are some of those, the people that have to ask for help are some of the strongest people that you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really an important thing, because I think there's a lot of people when they think about running for office, they're like, well, I need to hit all these check marks. They think they have to be good at everything. And the reality is a lot of their stories, a lot of people's stories make them the best.
And I'm sure you've recognized this now as someone in office. You know, when I watch people who I really respect and admire in politics, because you and I are both involved in it, I'm like, wow, how are they so good at this? How do they know so many people? And then when you meet them, you're like, no, everyone's just a person and they're all trying to sludge through it like anyone else, right?
Yeah. I think that there are people that are really good, I mean, at specific areas. And right. I think that that's the thing that, like, I learned, you know, I served my first my first session in 2019. And the thing I learned as a freshman representative was find your niche. find something, like, you know, for me, it was, I really care about public safety and criminal justice reform and juvenile justice and education policy. So looking at those kind of frameworks of healthcare, and I sit on the three committees that deal with those issues, and everybody has topics they really feel passionate and they care about. And that's, I mean, more than anything, when I think about who runs for office, usually the best politicians are public servants, are the ones that actually feel really passionate about specific topics. And they probably feel really passionate about those topics because it's impacted their life in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And, you know, you see that on a local level because they're just passionate about their neighborhood, or they're passionate about, like in Georgia, Lucy McBath ran because of gun violence, because her son had been a victim. But what was the thing that inspired you to not just pay attention to politics, but to run for office, especially running for this race against an incumbent?
Yeah, it was. I had a lot of people like, please drop out of the race. And it was funny because when somebody had said, called me on the phone, literally at my house, and said, you can't run from somebody from your own, like against your own party. And I said, well, he's been there a long time. I believe in equity of voices. And it's really interesting. Why I decided to run was, I think, just a resolve that my story had power. I think when you grow up poor, and you're constantly, and then you get into this world where you possibly, you're around more educated people, you're around more fluent people, you feel really ashamed about your story.
Yeah.
What I realized at the point in my life where I decided to run was, why am I running from my story? Why do I feel so much shame? And some of it was, honestly, it was very healing for me to just be able to talk about my story, and to be able to say, you know what, my story has, so I have something to contribute. And by me owning my narrative, I was really able to help a lot more people and also help myself in the process. So, yeah, I mean, it was a jump, but I was really, when I decided to do it, I was very, like, I had conviction that it was the right thing to do.
And did you do that because you felt like your story or kind of story wasn't well represented in government in general, in Minnesota, whatnot?
No, like in government in general. Yeah, well, I mean, for Minnesota, for sure. I mean, if I think that we have, there are numerous of my colleagues from Minnesota, though, I would say in Minneapolis, that have incredible stories. I think incredible narratives, that their journeys are so, I mean, you think about like the immigrant story of my fellow colleague Hodan Hassan. It's incredible. Like I think every story is good, and everybody has something to contribute. But for me, it was this being able to, you know, from nothing to one of the wealthiest districts, and then what to do with that, because my district has traditionally been a Republican district. We were able to flip it from red to blue in our race, but it was held by a Democrat who was previously a Republican. So it's being able to figure out my district's kind of political leanings. And I think my district, honestly, it's one of those purple districts where they care about people, but they also care about fiscal conservative, you know, policy. So it's been a very interesting, I've been a pretty good fit to be able to talk about like fiscal responsibility, but also the importance of caring about people and what our government actually does to really help people.
And so have you, in that process of running and now being in office, did you learn more about ways that government does help people? I mean, I'm always surprised by learning about a new program or whatnot. Like, I didn't realize that they could be helped like this. And so it's a very eye-opening experience, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think about just recently, we passed a piece of legislation here in Minnesota that, you know, we had a lot of our laws that were tending towards, say, in terms of housing. A lot of our laws here in Minnesota, and this is in other states too, tend to sometimes benefit the landlord more than the tenant. And so we had a piece of legislation that passed this last session that allowed renters, if you have a lease, that renters, the landlord had to give them a 60-day notice before they had to move out of their their apartments. Well, very interesting is that law actually came to apply to my own mother in the last few weeks. And so it was one of those things where it really hit home. And it's like the policies I was able to really actually see from the implementation of that policy, the benefit that it has. Because imagine if somebody told you you have to move from your apartment in 30 days. And so you and a lot of people, you know, that are renting, not everybody has 2 months rent. And so 60 days, while it still doesn't seem like much, and that might not seem like a big lot, it actually has a huge impact on people's lives. And so there are really great policies that I think that if you understand both sides, you can make a difference.
You know, just hearing that, it's not an issue I would have thought of, even though we have a lot of renters in my area. But as a father, I know that if I had to move and I only had 30 days and it was in May, well, what's that going to do with my kids with school? If I have 60 days, okay, I can figure out the summer. Like, you know, that does make a huge, huge difference. And or you can just resolve the situation in that time as well.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And what we see at the Capitol is who has the time to lobby on policy, who has the time, who actually feels like their voice matters, or that they have a say, tends to be wealthier or people or organizations. And so it's really important that we pass laws like the ones that we did in Minnesota here on tenant rights, because you think about this, and it's something that I think younger people that have more passion, younger generations are going to say, hey, you know what, we've done it this way, but it doesn't mean it's the right way. And how can we fix this? And I think that that's what we need when people want to run for office. They have to think about different issues. One, just because there's been a law on the books for, you know, 20, 30 years, doesn't mean it's the best policy.
Mm-hmm. You know, you just brought up a really good point that I don't think gets talked about enough. And he said, who has the time? Money is time. Everyone talks about lobbyists and money, but lobbyists don't really necessarily have their influence through writing a check. It's that they have the time to meet with you or me or a congressman, and they're in the capitals, they're in the places. I mean, isn't that the bigger issue than just, not that money in politics isn't a problem, but just that those people have the time to do it? Sometimes you see a lobby day for a minimum wage issue, but that's because they have one day to get everyone there. Like, the other 364 days, they can't.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who can take off the time? If you're paid hourly and you have no vacation, who has time to go lobby? And not only that, it's a lot of what we, you know, I think the really outreach that we have to do is make sure that everyone knows that the Capitol and that legislators are there to serve them. And I think that is something that I really would like to see our next generation of leaders really push, making sure people know that they can access, have access to their legislators, and that they can have control and power. Because one of the worst things when you're door knocking, and I'm sure that you probably heard this too, Tony, is when people will say, well, I don't really know anything about politics or any you know, public policy. I don't know. That's not really my thing. And then you're like, well, hold on. Do you work? Do you pay taxes? Do you have health care? You know, public policy is how we live our lives. And if things are working or things are not working, and that's all politics should be about. Instead, it ends up being about this heightened, you know, diatribe about things that maybe sometimes don't matter. We need to bring it back down to this place of how are we living our lives? Are policies working for everyone? Are we benefiting people, the everyday people? And that's really, we need to get back to that instead of, like, you know, headline news where it distracts us from things that we should be talking about.
Yeah, and in addition to telling people on this podcast that you should run, really, not everyone can run for office, not everyone should, but you should lobby, right? Like, if you are listening, you should go and meet. If you can't get to the Capitol in Minnesota or Pennsylvania, you should go to your district office. You should not be quiet, no matter what it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say, you know, there's a lot of people that run for office, they want to make a change. You can make a change by not running for office. You can make a change by going to the Capitol. Yes, like you said, go to the Capitol, go to your local city council meeting, lobby on issues that are important to you, that are important to your district, or important to your city. You don't have to be an elected official to do that, because the elected officials also need to listen to their constituents. And we have real issues facing us. I mean, and this is nationwide. I mean, we have global warming is a huge issue. I mean, the environment, we're all feeling it. And honestly, there's just not enough talk about it. Instead, what we're talking about is, you know, the presidential election, which is really important because, you know, we're not in a very good climate right now. But we also need to make sure that we don't lose sight of the really big issues that are going to make our states good places to live for the next 10, 20 years.
So, you know, one of the things you mentioned is about the time. We talked about that. But the timing issue and the money issue, these are things that discourage people from running for office or getting involved. What were some of the challenges that you faced, both or either, that you think is most significant as someone running or as an elected official? Like, what would have been the number one or two challenges you've seen, and, you know, were you able to successfully face them?
Yeah, I think timing is really big. I'm a young mom. Mm-hmm. I have three little boys, and it's been a challenge to make sure that I can't tell you how many times people have said, well, who's going to watch your kids, or, you know, who's going to be the mom to your kids? And I'm like, wait, hold on. Like, I'm still their mom. So I think that timing is really tricky, because as a young mom, I feel like I want to get out there. I feel really passionate about some of these issues that I want to bring to the forefront. But I think it's always tricky. And so, you know, I've made it work. I have a really supportive spouse. But the money is huge. And honestly, Tony, it's so disheartening for me to look at how much money you have to raise in these races. We have a PCR program, which is the political rebate contribution program. So if you give $50 to a candidate, you get reimbursed by the state. I don't know if other states have that, but it's been a really good program to raise money.
No, I don't think we have that. I'd be surprised.
Yeah. But it's a great way to, like, get other people in the race that maybe it's hard to get donations. But yeah, I mean, money is a huge factor, and that's the problem. With who ends up running for office, is it people that are wealthier, people that have no perspective of what it's like to not have enough money to pay your bills, or to decide how much food you can buy for your fridge to feed your kids at the end of the day? So, you know, it's really important that we elect people that understand what it's like to take public transportation. But we don't always do that because of the cost to run for office, and that's just not right.
Yeah, you have a lot of people voting on transportation bills who are on committees, not just in Minnesota but everywhere, who never take a train or bus, and they're mm-hmm. making the policy on it, and like 90% mm-hmm. or 100% of them just use a car. I mean, this is fine, but if they don't have that experience, that's why we need more diversity, not just in terms of gender diversity and race diversity, but just diversity of outlooks in general, because otherwise, who's making the policies?
Exactly. And people that when you make public policy, you should have at least somebody at the table that has some experience with it. So I do think it's really critical when people say, you know, what do you have to bring to the table? So if somebody decides they want to run for office and somebody says, well, what do you bring to the table? Their lived experience, like, I grew up on public transportation my entire life. What that meant for me and my mom was that we had to live by public transportation. We had to take all of our groceries, you know, via, you know, the bus. We had to make sure that every doctor appointment, every time she went to work, every time I went to school. So you understand things in a very different way. And so I would just say that, you know, if people are thinking about running for office, go to your own narrative. Think about your own story, and that will, like, guide you.
Yeah, it's so important. I tell people in other things, in other forms of life, my professional and personal life, like, just to organize your arguments in terms of story, hope, and plan. Your story, you know, how you can provide some hope for that, and your plan for doing it potentially is running for office or instituting some policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
But for you, I was looking at your profile. One, the Minnesota pages for legislators are some of the best in the country, the website, because like in Pennsylvania, it's kind of like the format's really awkward and weird. In other states, you can't even find them. In New Hampshire, because there's 7,000 state officials, it's just like an Excel spreadsheet. But you have been extremely busy as an elected official. Were you expecting to be this busy?
You know, I don't know if I knew what to expect, and I don't think anybody does know until you get elected, and then we got elected as the majority for the Minnesota House, and so...
And were you expecting to be in the majority when you ran, too?
I'm sorry?
Were you expecting to be in the majority, too, when you ran?
No, I did not, and honestly, I didn't even know 100% what the majority would mean if I got elected to the majority. I just knew that maybe my bills would be heard more, I knew I wanted to be in the majority, but yeah, no, there's a lot of really important issues, and I think that you want to take them all on. I don't know that I'm going to chief author as many bills as I did. I think I did like 31 bills last session. I was able to pass 8, but 8 pieces of legislation that I really wanted to pass were passed, like school linked mental health, expanding that, making sure that all of our K-12 schools have access to therapists on site. Things like making sure, like for dyslexia legislation, I sit on the Education Finance Committee, and my kids have dyslexia. I, growing up, had dyslexia, but I didn't know what it was. I just knew I had a hard time reading, but the teachers had no idea, because they're like, well, she's smart, but she can't read. What's going on? So I was able to pass. We still don't collect data on kids with dyslexia, and so now we're really being able to test for characteristics that we can start to quantify. How many kids actually have dyslexia? What does that look like for our state so that we can really start doing better interventions? Because, I mean, I'm 38 years old now, and I think about this, and I'm like, when I was a kid, the progress that we've made in our public schools for kids with reading challenges is not as good as I would think it should be, but that's why your story is so important. And your story, I would just say for anybody that's thinking about, well, I have something to offer, there's probably hundreds of thousands of other people that have that story too.
Mm-hmm.
Or some similarity to it.
So you didn't really think about what it would mean to be in the majority, but, you know, I look in my area in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, and I don't want to call out anyone in particular, but there's quote-unquote moderate Republicans who are very nice people, and everyone's like, well, so-and-so's nice, but... Like, it's extremely important to be a majority party, right? You at some point, partisanship and party matters if you want to get certain things heard. Am I right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I don't know how it works in Pennsylvania, but here in Minnesota, if you want to get a bill heard, it's the chair that decides. So, and that's the chairs are picked by the Speaker of the House, who then picks all of the chairs, and those are majority party members. And so the majority really runs the show, and they get to pick what bills they're going to hear. They get to pick what bills they're going to send to the floor. They get to pick what bills are going to go in the omnibus bill. So, yeah, it really matters. And so I feel very lucky that we were in the majority. But at the same time, I really understand that, you know, the House is up for election every 2 years. So already I'm campaigning for, 2020. And it's really important that you forge relationships with the other side, with Democrats, with Republicans, making sure, I mean, as a Democrat, I need to make sure that, most of my bills actually have Republicans on them, because I know that I, depending on how long I serve for, I probably won't be in the majority.
Right.
As long as I serve. But maybe that's not true. I mean, who knows? But right. The House tends to fluctuate, and so it's really important that we find ways to work together, and I think that's really representative of our communities. It's so often you hear, oh, gosh, I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, we can't be friends, or we are so far apart, or that we don't get along. The reality is that the Minnesota House, we all get along regardless of party. Maybe we don't agree on public policy sometimes, but there's a lot of things that we agree on, and I wish we would hear more about that. Now, of course, like in terms of gun legislation, those are some very tricky issues at the Capitol, because Republicans and Democrats definitely do not agree.
And especially in a place like Minnesota, where like that's probably a big issue for certain big parts of the state, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a tricky issue. and I wish we could get somewhere with it. That was really hard. I'm vice chair on public safety, and to just, we just couldn't get it through because we have Republican majority Senate and then a Democratic majority House, and we just couldn't get gun legislation through. And I think, you know, for our kids, the argument I was making is for our kids, like, I don't know about you, but growing up, like, we didn't have to do these lockdown drills and things like that.
No, we didn't. I'm the same age as you.
Yeah. It's so sad to see that, like, our kids, they're going to grow up with this fear of, what if this happens? And I don't know. I just feel like we can do so much more, but we just can't. We have to figure out how to talk to each other on these issues. We're not trying to take guns away from law-abiding gun owners, but at the same time, our kids need to feel safe at school. We have an increased rate of violence with guns. And how are we going to figure this out? And the reality is, I don't know. I feel like we're talking past each other and we're not getting anything done. And it's really frustrating.
Yeah. I think a lot of politics is really figuring out how to fix that issue of talking past each other. And no one really has the best answer for it.
Right. I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
So, but you've been able to get a lot done. I think it's really impressive that you have worked on so many pieces of legislation that you wouldn't have been able to do in the same way if you'd been the minority party. But you need more people to run for office, right? Like, you need more people to be your allies, both in Minnesota or take it to other states, because you get ideas from other states sometimes, right?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Like, right now, I'm working on legislation. I expanded medical marijuana here in Minnesota last session, which was one of my bills. And I've been, you know, working with Nevada and with Illinois and looking at how are they doing it. So, yeah, absolutely. People, I would just say we need people to run for office in this country that are brave, that have courage, that are willing to stand up for issues that they believe in, and to show their communities and young people, and also old people, just everybody, that we can get along, that we can fight on issues, we can get things done, and that we can actually talk about policy again in this country. I mean, we have gotten so far away from talking about actual public policy, so many distracting headlines, that I think, you know, if you have like a passion to run, I think people should do it. But I just hope that people, when they run for office, will run on the merits of actually doing good work.
You know, you mentioned Nevada, and I really want to talk to someone from Nevada for this podcast, because it's the only state with a female majority legislature, which is the big newsworthy, not newsworthy enough really, because it means that the other 49 states are not. And so it's like, oh, look at the great representation there. Like, but across the country, it's not. So it would be great to be able to have a few more states where, you know, women have not just the majority in terms of politics, but like the party they're supporting, but that we have more women in positions of power. It makes a big difference, apparently.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think everybody, it's not only women, but it's making sure that we have people of color. It's making sure that we have, like, diverse representation that actually is reflective of the communities that these communities serve. It's like, if it's a legislature in Nevada, yeah, I mean, I think that's fantastic that it's half women or a majority women. I mean, that's really amazing. We are not there in Minnesota. So there was just a story done about we have a city in Minnesota that their mayor and a majority of their council members and, like, every points of leadership in their city is run by women leadership. And I thought, wow, how cool is that?
Yeah, I think it's very cool. So I think it makes a big difference. I see it in my local borough is now 4-3 women to men. And it's just, I think everyone on our council is a good person, but there's issues that come up that we wouldn't have thought of, and just a different outlook. And we need more diversity and outlook.
Totally. And I think that young people want to see people that look like them on, you know, in leadership, so that it can show them that they can be leaders too. And I think that that's really important. And so, you know, I was just listening to NPR today, and it was saying how the stage is, there's not going to be one person of color on the stage tonight. And I said, oh, like, it, for the presidential debate, and I thought, gosh, really? So tomorrow night, you know, Kamala Harris will be on our Cori book, it will be on there. But, like, I think it's really important that we have diversity of not only gender, but of you know, racial diversity. I think that, you know, as we, you know, we talk about making changes in terms of equity, that we actually have to be very deliberate in doing so. And so it's, I mean, for, like, us, for the University of Minnesota was just up for re-elected regents. And we purposely, because we looked at our region board for the University of Minnesota, and we purposely, there was only one person of color. And we thought, we really need to make a change if we truly believe in making a difference. And we voted for an entire slate of people of color. And so I think that's really critical. Well, actually, it was four people of color and one person that was not. But we wanted to make, actually stand up and make a difference on this. It's like, we can all say that we're for something, but actions speak louder than words.
Totally. And I think the action people need to take is to run for office. Before we finish here, Heather, can you tell me some organizations that you think have been beneficial to you? And I don't mean the Democratic Party or anything like that. Just, I know you got support from Run for Something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Yep, Run for Something supported me. They were fantastic. They were able to get me some great endorsements, which I thought was amazing. Women Winning, Molly's List are organizations that support women candidates. Were instrumental. So if there's women that are running, look up those organizations and see if they can, you know, come and help you. But yeah, I would just reach out to other local officials too and talk to them. I think it's really important when you run for office that you know the people in your city government. Mm-hmm. As a starting point. And I think that's where people should start. And then you start to branch off and say, who else should I talk to? Who else should I talk to? And then you really start to develop your idea of what it's going to look like.
Well, terrific. I really appreciate that you've run for office. I hope, and I appreciate all the things you're doing and accomplishing. You didn't just run to be there and have an empty seat or a nice chair. You ran to do something.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you, Tony, for inviting me to join you today.
Thank you, and I look forward to hearing more about your success and in the future.
Thank you. All right. Good luck to everybody running for office.
If you're listening, please make sure to subscribe, share this podcast, talk to your friends about it. And if you're listening and passionate about something, maybe you should run for office as well. Thank you so much, Heather.